heard some beautiful music today. A lot of places, everybody applauds after the music. We rather embrace a tradition where we do not. It goes back many, many years, but when performers are performing for man's applause, then it's appropriate to applaud them. But the topic today, talking about self-denial, money and self-denial, brings up that the musicians that perform here are pretty much like what David says in the Psalms, that he will confess his faith to God in the midst of the congregation. The idea is that this music was from their heart to God. What we just heard, a prayer, "Don't pass me by, dear Lord." And this allowed us to listen in on a very private thing. So this is not done for the honor and glory of the one performing. There are, times when we applaud because that's appropriate and somebody does something that we would like to encourage them and all that. But for the songs that are sung unto God and the music that is played unto God, the appropriate response is, "Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you for that ministry to my heart." And part of self-denial. Let me take you to three passages, Matthew 16, 24, and 25. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples." Now, he's talking to people who are following him, and he's encouraging them to pursue it to where they were disciples, not just followers, not just listeners, not just spectators, not just an audience, audio hearing, but disciple. That is one who entered into the discipline of the Lord. And he says unto them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." Now, many have misunderstood this, but a cross was not something that, you know, people say, "Well, it's just a cross I have to bear." This isn't something that you can't avoid. He says, "Take it up." This means a ministry of life. Christ's ministry would take him to the cross, and he would actually have to carry that cross as he went to Mount Calvary. "Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." In other words, if it's all about you and your life, you're on the wrong path, you lose it. "But whosoever will lose his life for my sake," and this is what deny himself means, "lose his life for my sake, shall find it." Lose his life doesn't mean here die. It means you lose track of taking care of your life. Again, in Mark 8:34, "When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, if you truly follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Again, Luke 9:23, probably all said at different times, "He said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Take up the burden daily. Take up the ministry daily. Take up the desire to serve me daily and follow me. Now, I'd like to begin by defining what we're talking about. Self-denial explained. The world loves to take the worship of God, the truth of Christianity, and just turn it into worldly religion. And this is why you have people in the name of some sort of Christianity beating themselves and beating others and all this kind of stuff. This is so far from the concept that God has that we shouldn't even have that in our mind. So let's look at self-denial explained, what it does not mean. Seven things. It does not deny what you are or have That would be falsehood. This is not saying, oh, I'm not so much, when you know that you are, you see. This is a false modesty. Number two, it is not denying your external blessings. Oh, I don't have much, you see. You should see them as coming from God and thank God for your blessings. Number three, it is not denying that you do good things. Acknowledge that even this, your doing of it, comes from God through grace. Someone praises you, I would encourage you to do as I do and try to say, well, thank you, praise God for that. And truly mean, I wouldn't have any good in me if it weren't for God. Young girls are told how beautiful you are. And this is a trap to lead you into thinking that you're something because you've been given beauty. And the right answer would be, well, thank my parents and God. I didn't do this myself. Number four, it is not belittling yourself. I'm nobody, I'm no good. This denies the work of God in you. Number five, it is not being careless or antagonistic toward your life, toward your health, or your family. This doesn't mean be reckless, be careless. Number six, it is not thinking of your body as evil. This is a false religion that got into Christianity really early. It came in from the Greek philosophies that spirit is good and all matter is evil. This is just false. God created it all. God created your body. God created your body, and it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So treating it badly is a sin against God. Think of this as, you know, taking the medicine. If you believe that this is the right thing, this is the good medicine, doing it properly, you get to the place where you do what is right and do what is right always. And then seven, it is not abusing your body in any respect. I don't know why I put a two in there. It's not too abusing. Not too abusing. No, drop the two. Erase it. No, not you, Victor. We don't want to spend that much time on it. Abusing yourself is a false concept of grief. God calls upon you to break your heart, not your body. Well, then, what does it mean if it's not any of these seven things? What does it mean? Well, self-denial focuses on loving service to God and others instead of self. There's a false doctrine being spread abroad, and that is you have to learn to love yourself if you're going to love anybody else. Not in the Bible, and actually just opposite of what the Bible says. Loving is a thing of giving loving service. If you do that for yourself, you've mistaken the concept. If you serve yourself, that's self-serving, you see. That is self-focus. That is selfishness. Serving God, who told you to serve your neighbor as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself, then it's not for you to decide what you will do, what you won't. It's for God to decide. And when he, like the Good Samaritan, when God brings to you someone that you can help, that you could help, then you ought to help. That's a loving service. You say, well, I didn't plan on that. I didn't count on that. I didn't put it on my calendar. Well, that's you. That's you serving yourself, you see. That's you putting the limits instead of letting God control your life day by day, bringing to you that which he wants done. A self-denying man submits to God's will rather than his own. He seeks God's will first and seeks earthly gain and safety only secondarily. When the missionary is called to a dangerous place, he just says, well, I'll give my life to God and let him take care of me. He is emotionally ready at any time to give back to God any of his gifts. When you recognize that you did not make all the things that you have, that you did not deserve all the things that you have, you recognize that what you deserve from God is judgment and damnation. So when you have good things that came from God, if he decides to take them from you, then you say, thank you for what you've given me. A woman was saying, I will never believe in a God that would take my son from me. He was in the prime of life, 25, 30 years old. And he's dead. God did that. God stole from me. Said to the preacher, what do you think of that? And he says, I think you've marked yourself as a very ungrateful person. She was shocked. What do you mean? He said, God gave you your son, and he gave him 35 years of life, granted it to you day by day. And when he took him, you said he's stealing. Telling the story of a man standing on his front porch one Saturday morning, watching the neighborhood go by, and a man walked down the street, looked up at him, came up to him and said, here's an envelope, use it to the best of your ability. And he said, wait, what is this? He opened it up and it was $1,000. He said, what's going on? He says, just yours. So he wasn't about ready to throw it back at him. But he set it aside, waiting for that second shoe to drop, find out what's really going on. But the next Saturday, the man came back and said, here's another envelope for you. $2,000 now was accumulated. And the third Saturday, he was kind of looking out the window, and the guy came up again. So he started spending the money. This happened for a month or two. And Saturday morning, he was out on the front porch waiting for the guy. And he watched, and this time he walked past his sidewalk, went to the next house, came up, knocked on the door, and gave the guy the envelope. The man yelled at him, hey, you dirty thief, give me back my $1,000. Do you see what's wrong with that? That it was only given at the grace of God? And it's not stealing to not give you what everybody else has, perhaps. If you look around, you say, God's mean to me because I don't have what everybody else has. How is having less harmful to you? Maybe to your pride, but that's the problem, isn't it? The self-denying man is ready when needed to offer anything and everything he has for God's glory. This is self-denial, denying self, making self the center of your universe. It is self-denial when you do not trust your own reasoning to guide your life. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I figure it this way. You're leaning on your own understanding. So your mind is submitted. Then your will needs to be submitted. It is self-denial when you recognize that God's will is wiser and more important than your own will. You catch that? You want something. God's not giving it to you. Then you say, I recognize your will is wiser for me and certainly more important than my own will. Luke 22:41-42. Jesus kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove, or if you are willing to remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, Christ himself said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And if whatever you ask of God, you can add, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, because yours is wiser and more important. And then your emotions. You deny self when you choose to love only what God loves and to hate only what God hates. Make no mistake, God does hate certain things. Go back to your Bible, look that up. God hates what is hurting you, what is damaging human society, what is eating away at the families. God hates that. A rebuke came, 2 Chronicles 19:2. Jehu, he was some Jehu, he was a prophet of God, and he was the son of Hanani the seer. And he said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Now Jehoshaphat was generally a good guy. But being so friendly, he just welcomed the ungodly in, you see. And God says, you've gone too far. Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. That's the way you have to be. Now, it's not hating sinners, not despising people that are doing bad. They're victims in this. But it's the evil that's taking them away. Hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So submitting your soul, mind, will, and emotions, this is self-denial. Then we need to recognize it means submitting your body. We live in an age where the body tells us what we're going to do. I have a feeling. I have an urge. My job is to fulfill all my urges, not for the one who's denying self. Restraining your body from serving sin. By the way, we get into a Christian tradition, and certain things are just bad. I don't know, certain clothes could be bad, you know. I remember being down at Bob Jones University where the rules there were that a dress had to come down, I think, past her knee. Couldn't see any knee wrinkles at all. And I recognized a visitor came on campus and she had a shorter dress. Now, it wasn't a miniskirt, but it was just shorter. And I thought, well, she's only this much in sin. And I thought, what in the world what am I doing? And I realized at that point how ridiculous that was, that there are rules for the school, and then there's rules for Christianity, and the two are not necessarily the same. Don't start thinking that the way you were brought up is the only God way. Don't condemn something that you can't prove from the Bible. People say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Really? Where did you find that in the Bible? And if you can't say where you found it in the Bible, then stop saying they shouldn't do it. If you're going to say you shouldn't do it, find it in the Bible and say, well, it's right here. This is why you shouldn't do it. Restraining your body from serving sin, Romans 6, 12 and 13. Let not sin, in other words, we could let it, but he says, let not sin reign, have control in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof, the desires thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't give up your body parts to serve sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Dedicate each part to the serving of God. As those that are alive from the dead, recognize what he's saved you from, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why do we set this thing aside that causes us to fall, and then we just visit it every so often? We make provision to fulfill the lusts. So restraining your body from serving sin, that's self-denial. Again, it's your body seeking only the honor that comes from God. Honor me, that's pride. I've done this mighty works, honor me, that's pride. Why have you done it? So that people will honor me. Well, that's not self-denial. Remember Moses, a couple of verses to picture this, Acts 7:23. When he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. He said, I know I'm an Israelite. I've been raised as an Egyptian, as a leader, separate from them, but I'm going to visit them. And Hebrews 11 explains this then, verses 25, 26, Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What pleasures of sin ends up hurting you? Esteeming the reproach, evaluating the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had recompense, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. People today are given to the immediate gratification. I want it, so I'm going to take it, I'm going to do it. But if you hold off now for the greater reward later, you're wiser. Get the good now and give up a greater reward later, that's foolishness. You see, Moses chose correctly. Again, thirdly, submitting your body, valuing Christ over worldly riches. Now here, my friend, is our money connection. You grab the money, shove it in your pockets, cram it into your purse, put it in your bank account, and now you're better than others, right? Matthew 4, verses 20 and 22, they, the fishermen that Christ went to, and he said, follow me. They straightway left their nets, left their jobs, and followed him. And they immediately left the ship and their father, their employer, and followed him. Matthew 9:9, Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. This was the guy that people paid to the Romans. He was a publican. And he, Christ, said to him, Matthew, follow me. And then he turned away and walked away. And Matthew arose and followed him, left his job to follow Christ. Matthew 19, verses 16, 20, 21. 21, 22. Behold, one came unto him and said, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I feel like I'm missing something, but probably just one thing that I hadn't thought of. I'll do that, and I'll have the sense of eternal life. Jesus summed him up. He said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. If people give us some food along the way, we'll share it with you. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. He was not willing to choose Christ over this. But the one who has self-denial must choose. Now, God didn't give this command to everybody. He gave it to the guy that was to solve his problem, you see. Again, it means leaving dearest friends or family at God's call. Abraham left his native land, Ur of the Chaldees, at God's command. Luke 14:26, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Why is he telling us to hate them? Well, Matthew explains what Christ meant by hate. Look at this. Matthew 10:37, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is what he means by hate. By comparison to, see. I would do that, Lord. I would give that. I would accomplish that. But, you know, my family, God says, yes, that has become your God. And again, risking your health and safety to serve your God. We find some people honored in the scripture. Epaphroditus, Philippians 2:25-27. Paul writes, Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellowship, but your messenger, and Epaphroditus was their messenger to him, that he had ministered to my wants, my needs. He longed after you all. He was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. Here is a man who traveled dangerous paths to give a gift to Paul while he was in prison, and he got sick. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him also, but on me also. Paul says, how bad would it be if he died while helping me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Here's a man who followed God's will even when he got sick, and he just stayed with it. Aquila and Priscilla, friends of Paul who ended up giving up their lives, just following, doing missionary work. And Paul writes of them, Romans 16:3-4, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He says they were willing to risk their necks for me, a servant of God. And then finally, refusing to compromise your faith, even to protect your life. Every martyr who ever died for the sake of Christ did so because he was not willing to bow to a lesser God. He was not willing to deny the Lord that saved him, even if it cost his life. Matthew 16:24-25, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So that's what it is. let me close by looking at, secondly, self-denial encouraged. Here's what I'm saying. Denying yourself is so contrary to our fleshly nature. Let's just take a moment here to encourage ourselves in that duty. Five things. First, remember Christ commanded it. That should be enough for us. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if you want to be a follower of me, deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Christ exemplified it. He didn't tell us to do something he wasn't willing to do. Philippians 2:5-8, let this mind, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But, in spite of that, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion or habit as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ denied himself for the purpose that God sent him for. Heroic believers exemplified it. Abraham, Moses, Old Testament saints, martyrs, the apostles of Christ, all of them were willing to risk life. Listen to a sad passage in Hebrews 11:36-38. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn asunder. They were put in a log, and then they cut the log in half with them in the middle. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These were the good guys. These were the dedicated people, but they were denying self. And they showed themselves worthy. Fourth, obeying self-desire makes self your God. Let's recognize for what it is. Call it what it is. You have an idol, and you see him when you look in the mirror. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. If one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Romans 14:7-8. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we're the Lord. We're just going to do what he wants us to do and let God figure out the end. And finally, this choosing to preserve self is an illusion. Well, I have to protect myself. A lot of people depend on me. You can't do that. You may think you can, and you may act as if you can, but it's an illusion. Matthew 16:25-26. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. Oops. You chose for yourself, and then you lost it, you see. Whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And what is a man profitable if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Philippians 3:7-8a. But what things were gain unto me? Before I got saved, he says, there were things that I really counted important. They were gain to me. Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. He says, you couldn't pay me to go back on God. There's nothing I desire. I count it all but loss. Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ, or for Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The reproaches, the bad things that happened because of his love for Christ, that was greater riches. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. To receive the reward at the hand of God. To have him look at you in the face and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And finally, Hebrews 10:34. For you had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling, the stealing of your goods, knowing in yourselves, or that you have in, or for yourselves, that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You say, well, it cost me a lot. Compared to what? Compared to what you're going to have? No. You lost some trash here for an eternal reward there. Let's pray. Father, you've given us an opportunity to think what it means to deny self. For Christ said, if we're going to take this thing seriously about following Christ, we're not going to play at it. We're going to deny self. We find, Father, that self is telling us to do things we ought not to do, urging us to go back to ways that we thought we had forsaken. Self is trying to be the ruler, is trying to be the God of our life. And we have to take it in hand. We have to say no to self. We have to argue against its arguments and actually experience loss and pain, if necessary, to follow you. I ask that you might help us, Father, to value you more than the things of this earth, for they are passing away. We can't keep them anyway. Even our life is beyond our control to preserve or to lose. It is a thing that happens to us. But Father, if our hearts desire you most of all, then we will deny self and live our life according to your way. With heads bowed, eyes closed, it may be you're saying, this is a thing that I have to work with, Pastor. I keep valuing what I want and my goals for my life more than the thing for God. So God willing, I want to dedicate this all the more to him. I want to say to him, Father, help me deny myself and honor you and serve others. If that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up? Say, pray for me. This is my need today. This is where I need to be. This is where I need to go. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes. Father, then we turn to thee with thanksgiving for your offer of salvation, your willingness to take us into your loving family forever. And we ask that you might help us to see that the hindrance on the way is self, doing the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, catering to ourselves, pampering ourselves, rather than serving you with body, soul, and spirit. We pray that you might touch these that raised a hand, give them special strength to learn to deny self, to detect self, deny it, and then learn the proper path and follow it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.